Township. The time is 7 p.m. Joe, can you take a roll, please?
Ms. Faulkner?
Here.
Mr. Left?
Here.
Mr. Antonetti?
Here.
Thatcherette?
Here.
Mr. Peavy?
Here.
And I'll move Mr. Thompson is here as well.
And for the record, it's September 24th, 2018.
Thank you. Okay, we have one item on the agenda this evening. So we'll call the following hearing order at 7:01 p.m. Genoa Township Zoning Commission initiated zoning text and map amendment ZC 2018-06 to revise, edit, add, and/or delete zoning provisions within the following locations of the Genoa Township zoning resolution. Article 1, administration. Article 4, definitions. Article 5, establishment of districts and map. Article 9, planned residential district, PRD. Article 10, lower density planned residential district, PRDB. Article 20, landscape standards, and the appendix in accordance with section 2602.01 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution and the recommendations of the Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan. This is continued from the September 10th, 2018. I'd ask anybody that plans to comment, public comment, to please stand and be sworn in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Staff report?
Yes, I don't have a formal report, obviously, for this. So in front of you, you have a couple of materials. The single page, 8.5 by 11 document, the bullet points, is sort of just a synopsis of your conversation about this particular item from the last meeting, from the draft minutes we've prepared, just to help you, because you need to jog your memory about some of the things you discussed. And then Mr. Antonette's prepared for you a couple of the different drawings you had talked about in the last meeting, sort of taking the regulations as currently drafted in regards to like the setbacks, overlaying them on some of the more recent PRD plans we've seen, just so you can understand what that would look like. So you have 11 by 17 copies in front of you there. I believe I forwarded you any other public comment that we've received via email. That's all I have.
Thank you, Joe. So if you could, let's discuss these. I think that's what we decided when we closed the last meeting. We were going to analyze the impact of the proposed PRD changes to some recently approved or reviewed applications, including Hawk's Nest, Grace's Place, and the Ravines at Hoover. For the record, we did receive Binmar 4, 5, and 6, but their setbacks on Binmar 4, 5, and 6 exceeded the current PRD, so there really wasn't any impact to that 4, 5, and 6 at all. I think they had 100-foot setbacks pretty much around the perimeter of theirs. That's why I don't have Binmar 4, 5, and 6 in here. Okay?
Yep.
All right. So, Joe, I know, do you have these up? We can pull
yes.
them up and.
Yep. Which one do you want to start with first?
It doesn't matter.
Start with Grace Place because it's the smallest. Good place if you have no preference.
There it is.
Just to that little stick.
All right, so the proposed changes were a 100-foot buffer from any zone residential other than a PRD. And that pretty much leaves the east and the north side.
So
the south side abuts PRD.
PRD, so this is 50 feet back, like it was in the original proposal.
Right.
This is RR and RR. It comes back 100. There's this little bump out that you have to follow. And then all the way around. These are RR here at the top, so it's coming down below. And then you kept the.
No, well, our new rule is 100 feet from the right-of-way, and they are 50 feet from the center line, I believe.
Well, I think they did it from the new right-of-way.
Okay, so that's why, yeah. That.
So they did 50 feet from the new right-of-way, and needed 100 feet.
Right, right.
So that leaves the cross-hatched area as available building space under So I did, we deliberately did not manipulate all the roads and other kind of stuff, but luckily, if you use your little to scale, little mini fun building envelope, our new 60 by 120 building envelope, which could be any iteration that adds up to 7,200 square feet. And I think, to the extent that we say that, we don't require you to put a 60 by 120 envelope, we expect you to put an envelope that's height and width multiplied together are 7,200 square feet. That's what we're effectively saying, is that correct?
Right.
I'll have to check how we have that worded. That's
I think we said the building envelope had to be 60 by 120. And if we want to stand by that, that's fine, but we just should understand, because when I went to do this, I found, you know, people had done different things based on the shape of the lot. And I don't know that I'm precious about it being longer and skinnier rather than shorter and fatter, personally, but just that it covers that much square footage and that that becomes a footprint, a minimum footprint size. But anyway, I took a little fun, little very scientific, and then kind of imagined where the roads would be. Hey, look, we're on a budget here. So I still left the road in the middle and basically brought all these houses, or most of these houses, down into this section, brought these houses down, assumed they would solve the detention problem in the green space they now had to retain for the buffer. They would have to be inventive with it. Maybe they couldn't. But my assumption was is that every required component like that would now live in the buffer zone because the buffer zone was so big, and slid some places around and came up with roughly, somewhere between 12 and 16 units that would fit here. That did not scientifically take into account, you know, whether or not the buildings were in the right place or other things, but the envelopes would be right on top of each other.
And if I recall, right now it's zone SR, right? So we were looking at, what, 12 to 14 units if it would stay zoned as SR?
This place is zoned as 9.54, so you would basically double that for SR. So minus a little bit for the road you got to put in it. But you don't lose as much infrastructure when you put one road in a cul-de-sac down the middle. So for purposes of argument, about 15, 16 units, about a wash.
SR is 14, according to
that. Right. So, I mean, and we could get more specific about different things, but I think with 12 to 16 units, it would drop the density on the project from 2.86 development units per acre to somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.63, which is somewhat less important, I think, in the scheme of things than does that look right when the units are compressed here? Does it look right when you live in these houses as to what you see? Does it look right when you pass along the street? Because what we are relying on is the rural look and feel component of these rules, which says that typically rural look and feel, if you look at the Supreme Court case, talks about distance between houses. So when you have rural residential or suburban residential, you by definition typically have a lot of space between houses. You don't get that when you do a PRD, by definition. And this will actually bring the houses closer together. And I wrote, as a consequence, all of the green space will live on the outside and perimeter, and none of it will live in the neighborhood by this standard. So if you were going to build 12 to 16 units in here, you won't have this center green space. You won't have any of the amenities inside the unit. You'll just have the buffer around the outside, and that will happen over and over and over again.
And this one would have lost a ton of the trees if that would have been that way.
Potentially it depends. So rural look and feel would still be about tree preservation, so the tree preservation provisions would still stand. You don't know in every case whether the trees are here in the buffer or whether they're here in the center. Every lot is going to be different, right? So this one thing may have one thing have the other, right? There would be no way to know. But those are the consequences, which is that the neighbors see the neighbors, and that's fine. That's what they're signing up for. That's what they're, in my mind, that's what they're buying. They get to see the place. They get to see the lots. They get to see where they build and where they buy, and that's very consistent with their understanding about what's going to happen next. You will have more space potentially between the physical houses because of the building envelope concept, which is the house will not fill the envelope. And so, therefore, you may end up with more space between the buildings, even though we will still only require our standard physical distance with the fire department. So if you have a building envelope and your building envelope is substantially wider than the size of the unit you want to build, you by definition are going to get some more grass in between the units and a little more green space in the center of the property. So the other thing about, so if you're prepared to let people put houses close together and you're are prepared to live with that from a rural perspective, then what you're focusing on is that your rural look and feel is what is viewed from everybody outside of the development. So driving down the street, do you have the sense that there's a lot going on? I think you've used the example of Genoa Grove. You drive down that street, you have no idea how many houses are back in there. Right, so that becomes the standard under the under a rural look and feel standard, which is we're prepared to look. You do some things inside, but they're all inside where it's not changing the rural look and feel to anyone else who's around you.
I think it's worth noting your comment about the cul-de-sac. They'll still have to be able to get a fire truck in and out of there.
That's
so
right.
It's going to take up about the same amount of space. That won't be a buildable space right there.
Well, it isn't now because it's been excluded by the setbacks. So you have to assume it will wrap in here somewhere or go back here somewhere. And that will change the configuration on the lots.
That angle wouldn't be that. It would be chopped off a little more.
Right.
Space
so
space. It wouldn't be that triangle.
Well, that's exactly So that is exactly the triangle. That's what he's picked up there.
Yeah, I know, but if you go off the lot line, you could actually draw a straight line. It would be chamfered instead of the...
Right, you wouldn't build it this way. But what it leaves to deal with in the houses, by definition, means there will be fewer units on the property for 9 acres.
Very good. Any comment on this one? Okay, let's go to Susan, our designer.
Do you have a Hawk's Nest next?
Hawk's Nest?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the next largest.
Yep. So, since I'm the author of these, I'll just clarify. So, if there isn't a red line, like there is shown on here, I'm sorry, that means I've maintained what they proposed, that it's already would meet our current PRD revisions.
And they are dotted, so you're looking at them. They're not the black line is the lot line, the property line, but there's actually dotted lines in
right.
there, which represent those setbacks.
So let me clarify also. This is a perfect example of what Sandra was talking about the last meeting, where the southern property line is divided between two uses. And you'll see that red property line that I've marked on there is the division between what is, I think, rural residential to the east, and then PRD to the west.
Right, so the PRD line would be here, because this is all PRD
right.
down here. So that's that, and then it jumps up and goes to 100 feet because its neighbor is RR.
Right, right.
Same thing is happening up here, because this is all RR.
And then that lot in the middle is RR.
Is RR, which, as you may recall, was a relatively contentious point of view around this, which was, here you have RR lots and an RR lot. We don't have any intention of necessarily living in a large neighborhood for reasons that are beyond our control or our interest. We're not sold into the property. You know, we're not purchased by the property owner for inclusion in the project. So that model would say that there's a much larger buffer around those folks for purposes of building. And to your point, Mr. Leff, down here we have this large copse of trees that's retained in the original project, but probably disappears in this project because it's needed buildable space. Now, it might be financially imprudent to pull down this many trees. I don't know at what point there's a break even on that, but there could be tree loss here. You still keep the trees that were on the outside of the border areas.
And you would get the supplemental plantings that we're adding in. So
right.
You're losing the existing trees, but there would be plantings.
Right.
I think we also lose some of the green space in the northeast area.
Right.
They'd do something there.
Well, remember, because Big Walnut Road is here, it's actually causing the center line. So this was a setback because we had to set back from Big Walnut Road. Mm-hmm. So this became the line here. So none of this is going to be built regardless.
But this section here
might pick up a house or two because they need it with a road traversing in here. You still have to get a road in here. You still have to make a turn radius. Still going to be heavy lifting to do that. So, but again, your open space is concentrated outside of the development, buffering the streets and the neighbors, and not necessarily in the interior. It's not a lot in here anyway. I mean, there's this sort of particle. So if I used my handy dandy little fun 60 by 120, I don't change the number of lots on here by very much. So this is the effect of having a piece of property that's quite close to 25 acres. Is it, it's already got a number of substantial setbacks because it's on a major roadway. It was already set up to be set back in a number of places because of natural features. And so I calculated that rather than the 30 units that were actually approved here, which this was below the acreage requirements for the district, 28 still would have been possible here. And maybe with some interesting engineering, they get all 30 back on. But I think what that goes to show is that on a property, that a piece of property that's properly sized, you'll still get a goodly number of units. We're not going to cut it down so people can't build as many units as they plan to build. They might have to reconfigure where they build them. You might lose some because of the roads and because we haven't properly, we didn't map all that out. We didn't redo plans for these folks. But you won't lose many. It would still fit within the zoning.
Okay. Any questions? Discussion on that one? Okay, then the other one I looked at was their beans at Hoover. And yeah, you might want to zoom in on that one a little bit. So it's completely surrounded by rural residential. So all their 50-foot buffer becomes a 100-foot buffer. And then obviously the one out on Tussock's the main setback. So while this doesn't have a huge impact and it's more difficult to analyze because of the ravines, you can see those parcels that are or would be outside of the buildable area, which is probably 10 to 13.
And this is actually, most of these lots tend to comply with 60 by 120. Not all of them do, but almost all of them are appropriately lot sized. Most of the other ones we saw lose lots because they're the lot size, the building envelope is not as big as we would prescribe.
What about the 10,000?
So you sent a lot of information about that, but we're in PRD. PRD does not respect that because there are no lot lines for these individual houses. We're instead using the concept of the building envelope, which is these squares that have been drawn on here, all activity is supposed to happen within those squares. This particular drawing, most of them attempt to be 60 by 120, but not all of them do. Some of them are kind of pie-shaped, so they've got a little different dimension, but they might still be 7,200 square feet, which is why I raised that. If you flip back to the prior Grace Place, or whatever one you've got last that we just looked at, yeah, these spots on here are too small against that building envelope. So you can't actually pick up this picture and move it anywhere you want and decide that that's going to fit, because that's not the size of the building envelope anymore.
One thing that when you show ravines at Hoover, what it really express shows that when you're planning areas 2, 3, 4, this model, you know, doesn't really, we shouldn't be using that what previously is known as planning areas 2, 3, 4, because now you're putting small lots, you're going to put 7,200 building envelopes in rural residential, it used to be considered areas. That's where I put in, I think we need 20,000, 30,000 square foot lots also. Okay, because well, put 10,000 foot lots, now you're saying that...
You might want to wait until I cut to the part about the density on that, on the other one, before you come back to that. Because I don't think we're not going to make building envelopes of 10,000 square feet in condominium developments. That's just, okay, that's never going to happen.
But this is a zero lot line 100% cluster.
Correct. So we would not look at, when we set the building envelope, we're effectively creating a lot profile for our house. We're not saying it has to be in a particular place, but we're saying 7,200 square feet of building and surrounding area have to be dedicated to each unit you put on the map. That separates your units out. Rather than 10,000 square feet, which is what we typically see for SR and RR. But hold on to the punchline, if we can. So, when we look at this model, the ravines is the big trick here. We've introduced a standard that says you can't build within 20 feet of the top of the ravine, which means that you actually have to draw a little circle around each of these ravines, which actually expands it a bit and implicates the number of the units that were here. We were quite concerned in zoning about these units impinging on the ravine and what would happen in that space. So we've introduced a rule that would address the issue of staying out of the ravine. I'm sorry?
it's the new dehumidifier down there. That's pretty cool.
Oh, fantastic. Well, maybe I'm shooting off a lot of hot air, which is a DB dehumidifier. So, and that's entirely possible. So, the lot lines are about right, but the setup here is impinging in a number of places. You might find more building down in this section, which is somewhat less hospitable. Arguably, you could build at the bottom of the ravine. There's nothing in the rule that says you can't build at the bottom of the ravine. Who would build on the stream? I don't know. But you could end up sticking some lots in here, there, and yon. But if you examine this a little more closely with the little happy to little stickery things, I end up with 50 lots, plus or minus, don't hold me to the exact math, but instead of 64 lots, which would be a net density of 1.479. with these builds and the ravine setbacks and the necessary roads. And I could be off by a couple units, but that's my back of the envelope map. So this project changes.
Roads have to move, all the utilities have to
everything
move.
Everything has to move, right? So, right, and we're not recasting it. But instead of 1.89 units per acre, it's 1.479. And a total of 50 lots instead of 64. So I can keep making the building envelope bigger and bigger until I reach a point at which it's not defensible as a cluster development. But I can take 14 out by leaving the lot size almost exactly, the building envelope size, almost exactly what was proposed. So that's my punchline.
All right,
I'm
just
saying. All right, so if we're going to have a discussion, just put yourself on the right.
Yeah,
okay.
I can just real quick.
Jim Carter, 4493 South Old 3C. Just the... you know, this is the rural area, too, and I understand what you're doing, but 50 is still not really acceptable for that area. And I think we need to delineate, like, you know, if we're going to 2, 3, and 4, and potentially 5, which was a, you know, a better density.
Let me ask this question, though. Mm-hmm. The original density that's in this spot, if you can connect to sewer, which anyone building here will connect to sewer, mm-hmm. in the comprehensive plan is 1.35 units.
No, not in planning area 4. It's a 0.75.
Oh, right. It's not yet.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now they did.
Well,
it was 0.5 for no sewer. 0.65 if you did your own sewer. 0.75, which is one house for 1 1/3 acres.
Well, the 0.5 is the gross density because that's the 2 acre lots.
That's right. The 2 acre lots, right? But 0.65 then 0.7.
Oh, it was our sewer thing that we looked at.
Yeah, yes. But 0.7 is 0.75 with centralized sewer. Now they did a sewer study and they said at some point they could actually go to 1.35, that's how much sewer would be coming in. That was the latest one. But it remarked in there specifically, that is above the minimums that are designed for this area. So that's why I'm saying, I think we need a different model for, you can call it the Hoover overlay, you can call it areas 2, 3, and 4, whatever is legally defensible, but there are definitely north of Big Walnut or in the Hoover watershed and planning areas 5, it's different, and that's it was intended to be that way. The roads are built that way, and the people who moved in to the area in the comprehensive plan, when they moved in, if they went and read the comprehensive plan, it said this is a rural area, and this putting 50 houses in there is still too much, in my way. I see what you're doing, but I sent you some of the Berlin Township thing, and they've got a 10, a 20, a 25, and a 43,650
lot. But they're like PRDs. Those are not PRDs.
Okay.
You cannot combine those two and make that analysis.
Then don't allow PRDs in 2, 3, and 4.
Well, that's what you're asking.
I'm trying to get the lingo, too, because this is confusing in the sense that I wish zoning, would have told us what we can and can't do, but it's very confusing as, you say we can't do a PRD, but why are we doing a PRD in 2, 3, or 4? Well, I'm just saying, but I don't think we should be, if we do it, why is a PRD allowed in 2, 3, or 4 that's this size? But the whole intentions of having planning areas, which worked for us forever with a comprehensive plan, and that's what, when we harmonize, it doesn't mean cut everything down and let a lot more people build. It means make what we previously had legal. It's not.
We've been told we can't do that model. I think to be honest, we've had this conversation in front of the board. We've had this conversation at least two or three times down from the commission.
And
the commission, I think, has discussed it. They don't. They discuss the overlay option, and they're simply just not interested unless the commission has changed its mind. And I'm sorry for jumping in there. I just feel like we're sort of talking about the same.
No.
I think we applying very well at the last meetings what the position of the prosecutor's office was. and we've had numerous special meetings to go through why we're doing what we're doing. And I feel like the trustees have set a deadline for the commission to meet that end of September deadline. I feel like if we go to an overlay or we completely do a 180, and we're talking about throwing this process back months.
Well, I remember when we
sorry to interject.
I don't think an overlay is months away. But I do think that we have to take into consideration what this part of the township will look like under those rules. I think this process particularly well addresses infill. I think it particularly well addresses lots that are arguably too small to host a PRD. So I think when we look at the map, it does that really well. But I don't know that it addresses the question that Mr. Carter raises. And I guess I would not be afraid for us to talk about whether we should be addressing that question differently. So I don't know that we have to go back miles in an overlay if we're going to overlay, but I don't think we can legitimately overlay anywhere except around Hoover.
Correct. That I haven't been able to think of other valid.
Well, but I'm trying to decide in fairness, 2 and 3 has always had the benefit of nobody going over there to bother them.
Absolutely.
Let's be clear. All the rest of us can
but
have
they
all
will.
Kinds of crap
they will.
Everywhere.
Someday.
Well, but that's because there's no sewer really coming. Like, they thought the sewer was coming from New Albany, and then it wasn't, and then it was, and then nobody did anything or whatever. And so there are some legitimate structural geographic challenges to building on the other side of Hoover. And by the same token, though, no disrespect, those people are way farther away from the fire department and police department. So... and their bridge is always out, like somebody's always working on the bridge, so they have their set of challenges, don't get me wrong. So I think, the Hoover overlay serves them quite well and serves 4 quite well. I don't think it does anything for 5, which is kind of the other group that has historically had a lower number. So, I don't know, what does everybody else think about this? I think it works well for infill. It keeps you from saying that's a good, it keeps you even on the plans, what the plans would be for infill.
And you guys have heard me preach this, that as much as public and whomever focus on that acreage that is not developed yet, I keep my focus always about infill going forward. And so how to strategically tackle that, right? So preserve the rural character feel of Genoa Township. I guess when I look at, did you want to jump in, Jim?
Whenever you're done.
But
what I want to say is, about a year ago, you guys about had this thing solved, and then Mr. Schaefer brought in the overlay, I believe. Wasn't that, because you'd ask him for something else, and he brought the overlay in, and that seemed to stall the whole process. And then you guys got about 3 or 4 development requests, and that's how we got so far behind. And that's, I keep hearing that the prosecuting attorney says we can't do this, we can't do that, but what can we do? And how can we preserve what we have, and why isn't zoning actually presenting us a zoning resolution that meets all these things and maintains what was in the comprehensive plan? Why are we trying to change that?
Because we've been told we cannot give unequal treatment to lands that are otherwise similarly situated just because they're divided by Big Walnut Road. So
if you're looking at
40 acres north of Big Walnut Road, our concern is if this ever gets challenged, say we end up in court. If you're a judge, you don't live in Genoa Township, you don't know anything about Genoa Township, they don't know what Big Walnut Road means to this community. 40 acres north of Big Walnut Road, 40 acres south of Big Walnut Road, if it's a field, it looks the same, it's on a collector road, most things being equal, they're going to wonder why you are treating one person on one side of a border differently.
Well, don't we describe that in the planning areas? I mean, we described that in the planning areas before, pretty much, why we wanted to do it. And then the other areas about keeping it rural.
That works for a comprehensive plan, but it doesn't work for a zoning resolution.
So how do you make it work? How do you make what we have work? And why can't we use... let me ask you this. Aren't zoning areas 2, 3, and 4 essentially the Hoover overlay for all intents and purposes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why don't we just...
2, 3, and 4, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it exactly almost? I mean, with a few little things. Actually, it goes a little farther south on this side. So why don't we just use that? You said before that was legally defensible. Why are we not using
that? I think that's a better question for the commission, because I believe they made the decision to go.
No, I'm asking you. Is that defensible?
Mr. Carter, we make the decision.
I understand that. I'm just saying, is it legally defensible?
This is not a debate with Joe Schaefer.
Okay, sure. Well, no, I'm just saying, this was almost solved before, and we're not getting good input, I think.
Understand.
Okay, thank you.
I do want to point out that prior to the 99 comprehensive plan, PRD was allowed everywhere in the township, regardless of the planning areas, at a density even higher than what's in the current PRD district. Up until 1999, PRD was allowed at, I believe, 3 units per gross acre, so which is actually much higher than the 2.2. So we are actually on a march backwards since 1999, since the comprehensive plan. And then we changed from a measurement of gross density to net density in 2011 without changing the density numbers, which even technically further reduced the density. So I feel like we have made concessions on the density over the years. And I would argue that I think if we were here 20 years ago, you'd have people south of Big Walnut Road talking about these same things. So again, why do the people south of Big Walnut Road now get sort of, you know, well, sorry, you're out of luck, and then north of Big Walnut
Road? Yeah, I agree. I mean, it does seem arbitrary. Defining these areas seemed arbitrary.
I mean, the only reason I've ever been able to find that Big Walnut Road was the demarcation line is because that's as far north as the city of Westerville was ever willing to annex at one point. And so there was a desire to protect the southern area of the township from further annexation efforts, which forced the township into higher allowable PRD densities. That was not the case north of Big Walnut Road. Annexation was not a threat. And honestly, sewer was very much less likely to occur north of Big Walnut Road prior to the Vinmar lift station going in. So honestly, I think they felt like they could have a lower density up there because they felt like they could defend it because there was no annexation threat. No one was going to push up there. No one was going to put the heat on. But I think we're doing ourselves a disservice if we're planning like it's 1998 and all of those factors are still the case.
Yeah,
they're not.
And before Renee jumps in, could we potentially face the same issue with the potential arbitrary boundaries of the overlay?
Not if you cite it on something that has a rational explanation,
yeah,
which would be like, as Ms. Faulkner mentioned, the
2, 3, and 4. It's going to be the official boundaries
of the water
of the Hoover Reservoir watershed.
Yes.
And Area 4 isn't the eastern boundary.
I don't think it's fully.
It's Area 4. I think it's even described that way.
I don't think it's
It'd be, I think it's all of 2 and 3, but I think it's only portions of planning.
Portions
area
of
4. It's not all of 2.
Which actually is going to be fine because we have done it. I mean, that's the other problem we're running into, is we're not seeing any evidence that we're unwilling as a township to zone at higher levels than what's applicable. So that's the feedback we're getting, right? So, I mean, despite a number of activities here, including setting a new comprehensive plan, there's no evidence to me that we are serious about keeping planning area 4 on a reduced density.
I understand. You don't think we're serious about keeping it?
I don't believe that the township, as evidenced through its leadership and the decisions we've seen, is serious about keeping planning area 4 below the existing density levels. There's not been one project that's been zoned in planning area 4 that complies with that.
And
am I not being clear about this? All the Vinmar ones, everything that has been put in planning area 4 since I've been associated with the commission, which dates back to 2004, has been over that number and continues to be approved. So I don't see any evidence that as a township we're serious about keeping planning area 4 separate like we are, say, 2 and 3.
That is the evidence.
So I don't disagree with you. You understand I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Would you pull up the Hoover watershed and
yeah.
Ms. Vaughn?
I think I have that.
Just so we can see where that runs, because that means some properties in 4 would be in and some would be out.
Okay.
So my understanding of why the trustees approved the ravines is because they felt like there was a discrepancy between the comprehensive plan and the resolution, and that they had no justification for denying the application. So if we give them the overlay for the reservoir. Would the ravines fall in within that?
I've got a bunch of wells.
Sure, well, that'd be
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But like Vinmar might not. Oh, this one might.
All right.
That's what I was asking Joe just to pull up.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I have it.
Then if they had that, then maybe they would have sufficient support and justification for having denied it. So should we, because they didn't have it before, does that mean we shouldn't provide it now?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we can keep it as black and white and equip the trustees in that regard as possible, I think that's good news either way, right?
That's...
Is this Big Walnut Road 3?
Let's see. There. Big Walnut Road in 3 is right where that cursor is.
Where is that cursor?
Over to the right.
Right here.
Why don't you be able to find it?
Establishing this overlay district, there isn't any environmental concerns that we are aware of. So it still seems as though we're creating this overlay district kind of arbitrarily.
Well, you never know until you get challenged and see what the judge says. But and actually, you could sort of make the argument that the city of Columbus would rather see more density with houses on sewer as opposed to less density with the greater chances of 2-lot-acre subdivisions on septic.
And they'd probably rather see that than farms.
Yes.
Frankly.
Yes. I mean, you're the engineer, so I guess you, your answer has to correct me.
Again, I'm just saying, as if we make a decision to create this overlay district,
it still
what's
needs
the foundation, right?
Yeah.
For the decision. Like, I mean, is there
you mentioned rational boundaries? Like,
I think this is better
rational
than just picking Big Walnut Road. I mean,
right.
I think this is more rational.
I actually, yeah, so, okay, and that may be the case, but the truth is, what Big Walnut Road represents is not just. It's a geographic boundary that you can apply and say clearly, you live above it and you live below it. That's
it's easy
the
to see it.
This is craptastic when it comes to telling me. So if I move for overlay, and I'm not opposed to that, don't get me wrong, but so I get the deal and he doesn't get the deal.
Right.
And I get the deal and he doesn't get the deal.
Yeah.
Or he's the developer, he wants to develop, and so he can develop the hell out of it, and he can't develop anything. So that would be the challenge.
Yes,
is
it
that,
would be.
Is that there's no actual water in my yard. I don't actually have a stream running through it. Mm-hmm. It's those boundaries. At least when you looked at a road, a giant wide road, you knew where the road went.
Yeah,
this will now be a whole different series of boundaries to work with it.
I would guess that's probably how they divided the planning areas up. They said, oops, this is arbitrary, it goes through people's yards. Let's do streets.
Yeah,
right.
But I think the planning area 4 boundaries were sort of moved to accommodate the parcel lines. So I think if you would take
right.
the boundaries of planning area 4, you would see that
and
it doesn't
I agree
follow
that.
That exactly.
You wouldn't want it to run through the middle of the parcel because we're going to have the same problem that we've got on other parcels, like your favorite parcels on Freeman Road.
Yes.
That we won't let you fix.
Where they are.
That are half rural residential and half suburban residential.
Yeah.
And you hate that.
They're
so
on
what
the
if my parcel is half in the Hoover Reservoir?
Do I
get to build on it or do I not?
Yeah, and then you'd have to word it that either you either have to wholly be in it or you have to be partially in it, but then if you're only like 10% in it, then your whole parcel's in it, and then they would be in with the argument that saying, only 10% of my lot drains that direction, and now you're penalizing the other 90% of my lot.
I don't fundamentally disagree with any rule that says if any part of your land touches the Hoover Reservoir overlay, you're SOL because it's written in the document. But I have to tell you that argument hasn't really worked. Which is the idea that the comprehensive plan and the zoning resolution tell you the rules and what you can do in the places you can do them. And when you buy or you invest or you look or you come with an application, you should follow them. Because near as I can tell, no one pays any attention to that. Because there's nothing in what most of the applications are that we receive that look at anything that says, yeah, build that here. So we can write all day long that we think this is the right thing to do and this is the whatever. But it doesn't stop people from bringing whatever they want. And until there's evidence
because, I mean, this is the thing. We provide a justification for the overlay. And then it takes one person coming in being like, your justification is this, and here's my evidence why that justification doesn't apply. Right?
Well, I wasn't even going so far as getting all the way to an application.
Oh.
I was just saying, are we even going to get it approved? That's what I'm saying. Is the overlay even of interest to anybody further along in this process?
Right, I see.
To even bother to put it in place?
Is there interest amongst us? I guess that'd be the start.
I think we already went down that path. I mean, we've been down this path 3-4 times at this point.
I don't mind putting it over.
And we got to this point. I kind of like where this went. After the last meeting, we had the numbers, we had the measurements, we put everything in place and said, hang on, let's look at the maps. And we've done that. And so at this point, where we are with the densities and the setbacks and everything else, I feel comfortable with where we are. I kind of like it. I like it better than dealing with the overlay and what's in, what's out. And this is now an encompassing piece.
I don't mind the overlay. I think this solves some other problems, but it doesn't solve that problem. I think we've taken the setbacks and the building envelopes and everything as far as I feel comfortable putting on a piece of paper. So in the absence of an overlay or something else, that's, I feel like the bag of tricks is all dumped out in terms of...
I think this, I agree. And I think this setback that we've created, we can justify.
Okay.
It's not arbitrary. The 50 foot against an existing use that is similar to what they're proposing is fair, and I think 100 feet buffer between them and a different use is fair, and I think you'll find the results will fall out and shake out and be that the density will be significantly less than they would otherwise get. And that's the way I'm seeing it, especially as a result of what we've seen here. Now, if we have to do another one, I think you'll get the similar results on every one of these PRDs we've seen come through here.
Well, it did leave open the question, though, about whether or not we were prepared to leave the PRD density as high as it was. So whether we were going to leave that number at 1.8 and 2.2, or whether we should bring it down across the board. That was one question that we shelved temporarily for this discussion, which was maybe instead of that being the PRD standard, we should lower that standard.
I'm not opposed to that, but I think you're going to find out the result is they're just going to come in and ask for divergence.
Yeah, but it'll be one of six divergences then.
I'd like to get in black and white. So, because we saw a few different numbers here, right? When we took this situational analysis, 1.479 for the ravines, and I don't think I marked up Grace's place in terms of units for Hawksness. Nevertheless, I think we were between, 1.4 and 1.6. I didn't hear anything lower than that.
That seems to be sort of an essence of the lower density you're talking about. So are the setbacks, in essence, creating the density, which I think was one of the goals, was to mitigate the...
But if you advertise that density, does it make it easier on the face to not have people come in with proposals that exceed that?
Well, and this is the other thing. As you get larger pieces of land that don't have ravines, mm-hmm. then... The benefit is not there.
Yes.
Right.
So not enough, like 100 foot.
Right. I mean, it's not...
So you don't...
Real quick, you don't feel as strong... The more you get to a larger parcel of property, the more likely it's only feasible use is PRD. And the likelihood is that your number of units is going to start to approach the number of units you would do otherwise, because you're going to end up with that much open space anyway, mm-hmm. and you're just going to channel it into the buffer. Right. That's why I said I think it works particularly well for infill, but I don't know that it works as well for really large lots. So, I mean, the one thing to do is to potentially publish out a density at a lower number to say that's the number we're aiming for. That becomes one of the many divergences, but at least it puts on notice and advertisement to everybody everywhere. We're not looking to entertain high-density PRDs. So if we think that these numbers that come back, I will concede the point entirely. Mr. Carter does not... at all. So, just getting ahead of you there. But if you said, is the number, top number 1.4 and the bottom number is 1.1, is the number 1.3 and the top number is 1.8, at least then if a developer is flipping through the plan quickly before they get into the setbacks, before they get anything else, they're immediately on notice that that's the maximum density, and they're going to fight that at divergence right out of the gate. As opposed to, I've got 2.2 to run. I've got 2.2 to run because I've got sewer here. You go back and do all the drawings. Now you've invested. Now you've talked to the owner. Now potentially you've looked at the property, and you've said, huh, that's interesting. I can't get there, but I bet they'll give me divergences and all the setbacks. I bet I can wiggle 3 more units in here or something. So do we need to send a message to that? Because I think that bring the entire township down to a different number rather than bumping everyone to the area one number. I think that's the case.
Yeah, I agree. So you know, I tried to do quite a bit of research over the last few weeks in terms of looking at comparable townships, whether it's been within Delaware County or even in my old stomping grounds in Medina County, Cuyahoga County. So it can be problematic at times, but you know, when we look at projections that Delaware County Regional Planning has put forth, you know, we're going to be in line directly with Liberty and Orange here locally. Okay, and I would submit to you that a couple townships in the Medina County area, Sharon Center and Montville, have a very similar look and feel in the dialogue that they have up there in terms of that rural character, very similar to here. So sensitive to that, how do we continue to accomplish that? So a couple things there is this setback very in line with what I read. And, of course, in the cluster component, here locally, Orange, they don't even distinguish, right, Joe? 12.5 feet to any side lot line, the total, and we know there's no lot lines. We're talking building envelope, but bottom line, 25 feet between, not the 12 that I think is utilized for fire. So just something to think about, 25 feet between, that's pretty significant. In Orange Township, I thought it was interesting, the language that they use with their zoning regulation is quote-unquote controlling and promoting the quality of life in Orange Township. So we don't use that type of language here, at least in the zoning regulations, but I thought it was pretty apropos because when we look at the projections in the next 10 to 20 years, pretty aggressive. We're going to be up there with Orange and Liberty, and I would say whatever we're doing here can be effectively, I guess, promote and control the growth at a rate that's acceptable to our public. So
one thing that, and I never thought we'd dust this off and look at this thing again, but in terms of trying to find a justifiable standard, when we were asked to do the sewer forecast, which ended up living in the back of the comprehensive plan, we had looked at two different scenarios, the current zoning standard. We made a bunch of assumptions, and then we did a scenario one, which assumed that all the vacant land would be built out and 5% of the infill would be built out. The current zoning standard in all the different areas with all the different numbers and all the proper numbers, I'll note for the record, just because apparently at one time I didn't know them, 621 additional lots coming to Noah Township. If everything built out at the 1.1 minimum, 1.35 maximum, it was double that number of lots in total coming to the township on the remaining land. The vast majority of it coming, an extra 300 units coming in the remaining large parcels in planning areas 4 and 5. This was before even what we have zoned to date. So if we take into account what we've zoned to date, we've already put 80 of these lots in play, maybe more, of the remaining land that is to be built out. So at that time, we used the sewer standard, which was the assumption that it would be 1.1 at 1.1 without sewer, 1.35 with sewer.
With conservation,
That's what we had put together, because we had to do some assumptions, and that's what we assumed it would be built out at eventually. So just from a numbers standpoint, if we need numbers to look at, there were some numbers that were justified in that space.
And Jim Carter, if I may just real quick, the reason I recommend 1.1 and 1.3 is basically based on that. And that shows also our township, we want to maintain the rural feel, but we are willing to move. It was 0.75. We're like, hey, things are changing. Let's go to 1.1, 1.3, or 1.35 with this. And that would put a good number on the Hoover overlay. And if you want to put it over the whole township, that would be something to think about. And then it could be diverged from there as necessary around different areas.
Well, I think we want different PRD numbers. We want them everywhere because that's what we've been told now. We can't have different PRD numbers different places.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So then 1.1 and 1.35.
Which might be pretty complicated. Then we move the numbers for everybody everywhere. That's and that means whatever remains in planning area 1, which is largely infill, would have to be built against that standard.
And we could diverge it.
Mm-hmm. All these pieces, but it would be one more in the divergence.
And diverging the density is a little bit how we got into the situation. Yeah. I'll point that out.
Right, yeah. But instead of one divergence for density, if you can't manage the setbacks, you don't put in all the trees, mm-hmm. you're not doing your open space in the proper location, you're not staying on the ravines, you're going to end up with 5 or 6 divergences instead of one.
And if this works the way that we are anticipating it to work, then the densities should be able, should fit. I mean, the densities should correlate with
mm-hmm. We could still end up over it, but we could end up over it in a way that it's tucked back in its own location. Because I would tell you that, well, maybe 50 houses isn't the right number of houses, or 64 houses. Actually, what I'm more concerned about is how does it fit into what the neighbors expected and what the township expected. And what the buffer does is it pulls all of the locations that were zoned quite close there away.
I agree with that part.
Away. If you can't see your neighbor, then you don't. Well, I mean, our neighbor tells the tale of how the person who used to own my house, still lives in the township, didn't want him to build a pole barn in his backyard. Hated it. You can barely see it from any window of a house I live in. Just didn't like the idea. It's going to be close to my property line. I just don't like it. I'm like, it's a barn. And it's far, far away from your house. So at some point, stuff's going to get built by your house. And you might have to look at it. So it's not that there'll never be anything there. And I think sometimes neighbors first get upset about there being anything there. It's been a nice, great big field, and they've enjoyed that. And then we get a proposal, and the proposal's over the top. And then we end up negotiating our way back to something else. But I think you will end up seeing something. It's just, where's the burden?
I think you also find that this is going to have a significant impact on the ability of these developers to assemble 3 or 4 single-family homes and then mow them over and put 40 units in there because of this significant setback. You're going to be adjacent to rural residential, so that developable land that they're going to have to pay a premium for now is going to be able to support less density than it would otherwise. So, in that regard, I think it's going to be a significant impact on.
If you add the 1.1 and 1.3 to that, that right. helps the infill. Now you've got that model with that, and then get out of control. And it shows our, I mean, it would certainly be much better.
So do we feel pretty bullish about our tentative result through these schematics with the setback?
I think it's a completely reasonable point of view, and my question is, and this may have to be dealt with at the trustees now because we have moved the comprehensive plan on. I begin to question whether the comprehensive plan is clear enough about this. So at least one of the cases, I think it was the Moore case, the township had said, you want to build 40 houses on 40 acres. You have to build a house on each acre. And the developer said, no, I want to do the PRD concept. I want to smash all my houses together on 20 acres, and I want to leave 20 acres open space. And you say you want rural look and feel, so I get to do that. And the court said no. Rural look and feel is defined as rural look and feel by the township, who has a vested interest in buildings being far apart from each other. And so no, just you can build 40 houses on 40 acres, and no one stopped you from building 40 houses, which is what's important here. The guy could still be able to build 40 houses on 40 acres, just couldn't build them how he wanted to build them. He had to build them spread out.
Yeah, it's more now, streets, more utilities.
Right. Now, all this has kind of gone by the wayside because PRD has become a thing and everybody does a PRD and sing a song at PRD. And I'm no fan one way or the other, but that at least stands for the proposition that how you arrange things is as important as what you do on the piece of property. So pulling it back from the neighbors, saying, look, we believe there's more buffering. When you are near a non-like use, you are the one who's creating the burden. So you have to bear the burden of pulling further away. When you're going to be next door neighbors with a development just like you, mm-hmm. you want to go PRD on PRD? Well, that's what everybody signed up for, living right on top of each other. So knock yourself out. Be within 50 feet. But not your RR neighbors. Not your SR neighbors. Not the people who aren't set up like you, who are part of the rural look and feel.
Would you which is the approach we already even take with the commercial developments.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that we say enough in the comprehensive plan, which is where they looked for this language, about what is the definition of rural look and feel. Separated by distance, open vista, more green space. I don't know if we're as robust as we should be there. We may need to actually ask the trustees to add some language there as part of their review to make sure we're robust enough that when you look at that and then you come back to the zoning resolution, you can tie those two pieces together. Say, this is how they accomplished that. They put in buffers. They, you know, and almost have to, you know, we believe in a rural look and feel, and we are accomplishing it by doing the following.
Which I totally agree with, because I think that...
Is that what that means, right?
Right. Well, and I think that there is absolutely a disconnect between what is currently in the resolution and what we view as rural look and feel through buffers and setbacks and versus what the public views as rural public or rural look and feel being big lots with houses far apart. And so I think that that's where, you know, where we're getting into the conflict, because we're viewing it as one thing and trying to write regulations to accomplish that, and they view it as something else. So
I don't disagree. We are stuck solving the, my husband used to use a good analogy, we have to know how to build a carburetor. They want a fancy car to drive. Can't always make my coffee. No, and that's no disrespect. I'm just saying, you have your eye on the end product, right? A good ride, a good look, a good feel. We have limitations on the construct of that. I do think the tiebreaker is the trustees, where they can step back from it and go, you know what, you're right, because this, what you're doing here mechanically, which is the best you think you can do, is not meeting our objective of the resident who put us in office. At some point, they could say, we don't agree with that. We don't want you to concede on anything. We want it to be even lower as the standard. We are definitely building a carburetor. We're definitely building an engine here, trying to make the pieces work. But that isn't necessarily what you want to drive. So I do think there's still room for the trustees to come back and do something there.
I would say that this, the setback, push everything towards the center. This is very consistent with what I would say the leading planners in the rural conservation field. I have both books sitting back in my office. It's called Rural by Design. And Ms. Faulkner, I'm not sure, that actually I think predates your time when they had those discussions. But actually, it really informed a lot of the planning discussions in the township in the late 90s. Is the theory is, concern less about the density inside the plan where the actual development's happening, and more about protecting the land around it. Because the rural planners will tell you that 2-acre lot subdivisions is not going to protect any rural land. If you're actually really, truly interested in preserving the vistas, you're better off crunching all those units together and leaving the open spaces in between the down level. And that's, Randall Art is probably one of the foremost rural planners in the planning field. And Kirby Date here in Ohio, I just went to a seminar back in spring where she was basically preaching the same exact thing. Now, she did mention about, you know, on your side yard setbacks, you know, if you don't want to see this unit real close, make sure you put in those provisions so they don't get too close. But it's really that condo product that's really just thrown everyone for a loop, because it's just not something that was ever thought of being possible in the late 90s, early 2000s. Because when people were building condos, they were doing those quad products, you know, the Orion typical quad. I don't know if they even build those anymore, because everyone's moved to this product type. So I think we just do ourselves a disservice if we just try to stick our heads in the sand and just try to hope that, you know, try to zone those out. Because that, it's not going to happen. I think we will just continue to be beating our heads against the wall and having more very contentious meetings. If we're trying to do one thing, but the market is just, that's just not where the market is, we're going to continue to see a lot of friction.
I've never bought into the PRD model. I've never liked it, but I also admit that I've never brought an application here. And yet, somehow I've sat through loads and loads and loads of hearings. Like, people will bring them to us. The other thing I wanted to just remember, though, was we don't actually need a separate number, because we're not going to allow PRDs without central sewer. We decided that in this go-around. There would be no standard except the central sewer standard.
Correct.
There would be no PRD without central sewer.
Correct.
So we only need one number. We don't actually need two numbers.
Well, the two numbers was with
you're talking about conservation standards.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And this is just my two cents, but with the thing you're talking about with the 10,000 square feet and the buffers, and you had 1.1 and 1.3 in there, then we're getting to where we need to be. And like you mentioned, the infill problem starts to be solved. For people like Grace's Place, who they're trying to throw 21 on, it might be 10 then, and that's much fairer. And to put them in the middle, like Mr. Schaefer said, and put the buffers around exactly what you're doing.
We understand on that one. If you take them down to PRD and take them to 10, they just do SR no matter what, and they clear cut the entire lot. So they would have put 16 on it no matter what.
But you're, no. You can't. And you're not going to clear cut
the lot. They're doing SR. They wouldn't have put in a
PRD. You're not going to clear cut the whole lot, though, because no one's going to buy those houses with no trees.
No,
that's the option.
But we still can't.
So now you're taking them below SR, where we could have controlled what was going to go on in that lot.
That's what we saw.
That's what always going to be there.
And I fundamentally don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
With you building houses with your lots around them if that's what you want to do. And that's why I don't have a problem that automatically rezones you to SR. I don't have a problem with that. PRD, in my mind, has to meet more objectives. And as more residents have come to us and expressed their concerns about living so close to their neighbors, I think that people don't always properly guess what it is to live in a PRD.
Mr. Leff's point is that, when we were talking about Grace's Place, I listened very carefully to that, and I don't want to, have all the trees go down and all that. And if we can get the number of houses down to something, worthwhile, then cram them, put them together, put the buffers around. That's great, because we talked a lot of all the different people that live around there. It's like, which one would they rather have? And we didn't get as much reaction as we would have, liked, but that's a good model. And so if you put the building envelope down to 10,000 square foot, wherever that applies, and then you throw in 1.1, 1.3, now you solve the infill problem a lot, which you were mentioning too, I believe. And then also in the rural area, which is where most of the developable is, I think that's pretty good. Thank you.
So, Jim, you talked a little bit about 1.1, 1.3.
Sure.
Correct?
Sure.
Give me a little bit more background on that number from your perspective.
Well, they talk about how everything used to be rural once, but now we're moving, we're developing and all that. So we've had 0.75, and with Romanelli's Vintmar 456, he came in at 1.14. Obviously economically feasible. Not that we have to determine that, but we do have to keep an eye to it to some extent. Not like Mr. Benalcazar, who wants to make the maximum profit. We can do economic and, consider the residents around. That's where the 1.1 comes. It also showed up in the sewer, 1.1 without conservation, 1.35 with. And I thought, okay, well, the sewer people looked at what they can do. You can, what they'll be able to handle, and I know those numbers change, and also what's acceptable to residents, and the fact that that developer worked with us. He moved roads, he made backyards bigger, he changed the open space, instead of making it all mobile, he said he put trees, a lot of stuff like that, and that's, I think, where we want to get. And I'm just saying I like the model you're coming up with, especially if you put the density number in there.
Thank you.
What was the final number on 456?
1.14. Although I'm not convinced that's a great barometer.
Yeah.
Because I have not seen the land transaction costs, but I'm just not sure if that was based off of the market.
But at the same time, that came in at 1.14 after looking at, there were some divergences originally, right? If I remember correctly. And then what the conservation standards and the percentages of open space and the setbacks, and that's where we're going to end up getting, right? And then
they've actually shaved it down to 1.14.
Right. So with everything that you've already put in place with the further buffers.
I think with the buffers,
greater than buffers they were. But again, they would have been below the 2.2. So in what case at this point do you see 2.2 as the number actually come into play with all these buffers?
I think on larger.
So you'd have to have a huge amount of acreage.
There's a handful. But
there aren't very many.
On this side of the water, it's few.
Right.
But I like the 1.1 and the 1.35.
Okay, so
I feel like that's been documented. That's what Planning Area 5 went to. I feel like it doesn't put too many units in the mix. I think the buffers still solve the problem. Some of the problems, you might not be able to get that onto a lot, but I think you will. And I think what's nice about changing the density number to something else is if you're flipping through kind of casually through our zoning, or you just call Joe. Hey, what kind of density you guys got out there?
Sorry?
Joe quotes one number. That number isn't how good you walk away. But if he quotes you 2.2, which you can only get 1.65 on, then you're going to come with a divergence by the time you put all the buffers and everything else in.
So, okay, so how does that impact our...
Does it have to go back to DCRPC?
Yeah, what do we do now? If we change that number, can we do it right now?
I don't think so, because we're already in Chapter 4, so you're already making those edits. I'm not sure you need to go back to regional planning for that.
To change the resolution at this stage?
To amend what you've already proposed?
Right.
It's no different than when Vince Romanelli rocked Vinmar Village 4, 5, and 6 to 1.14. That was not the plan that regional planning had given.
No, but I'm talking about because we have raised this and put this out to the public. Because this would have an effect that people might be interested in. Because I would put that down everywhere in the township, which means 2 and 3 are going to get that too. Not just 4. 2 and 3 are going
to
take.
Yeah, but who's going to object to lowering it besides the developer?
Right now, 2 and 3 would be technically subject to 1.8 and 2.2.
Agreed, but that's not what the comprehensive plan says, to Jim's point. If you're looking at the comprehensive plan, you think your numbers are significantly lower.
Correct.
So I guess you're on notice with the comprehensive plan change, and then you come here to find your zoning. So anyway, that's my vote. My vote is to move to that. So.
Does anybody else have any thoughts about the 1.1 or 1.2?
We're doing 3 or 3.5?
3.5.
I'm definitely, especially if we got some basis for argument on the sanitary sewer. So, the only question is, I think that we...
So where did the 2.2 come from? What was the justification for 2.2?
I can only speculate as to its origin. It's informed speculation, but speculation nonetheless. I suspect 1.8, 2.2 was derived from the fact that way back when the county was thinking about, hey, wouldn't it be neat if we built a sewer system back in the 60s, in the early 70s, that they designed a system, or they were going to design a system that could service approximately 2 units per acre, gross acre. I got told that by someone who worked in the engineer's office. When I told her that number, she said, that sounds a lot like the number that the county came up with. And if you can imagine, in the 70s, that was huge. I mean, that's bigger than the numbers we're even talking about. I mean, that's when nothing was here. Now they're talking about 2 units per acre? Holy cow. I suspect 1.8, 2.2, when you add those two together, they equal 4. When you divide them by 2, they equal 2. So I suspect it was an attempt to... And the southern end balance development out in the hopes that between the two, they somewhat, in the end, average out to 2 units per acre. That's based on the limited information I've been able to find. My informed speculation is probably how that came about, but I can't say that for sure.
Interesting.
Because I know Orange's number, I think, is just a flat 2 units per acre. A lot of other people have gone lower.
God knows we cannot be.
Yeah, it's
crazy. So
theirs is a gross density, so it's not apples to apples. Ours is a 2.2 net, not a 2.2 gross. So if you do the math, we're probably very close in line with that because we're taking.
But still, I mean, I understand, and I know Jill's not here to make this point, but you know, she'll make the point all day long that we're not New Albany and we're not, I don't know, whatever special places. But we should not allow ourselves to be the Orange.
No.
Or Liberty, and we've talked a lot about that. Like, those now in fairness, with the exception of the fact that State Route 3 runs through us, which luckily got preserved in rails to trails and the whole tree line, because if State Route 3 had developed like 2030, this would be a really different discussion. But you've got Sawmill running through Liberty, you've got, you know, Home Road running through there, you've got the development on 23, which is out of control, you've got Polaris that got extended, it's out of control. So we have, you know, managed to be our little better community here because of Uber, because 3 was never set up to be a commercial pipeline up and down. You know, it's kind of anchored at the end, so.
And I didn't mean to throw oranges out, number out of it.
But I think we should be having a visceral reaction to Orange's number, which is, we think there's too much going on there. There's too much building happening there.
Drive through it every day. Anyway.
Feel good. signaling to Mark for
me? I was curious.
Mark, he was hoping you'd bring him one.
So, so we can talk about market trends and this and that that's going on in the marketplace, and that's based on sales. But I think what we're hearing consistently from the public and at large is what we enjoy about Chenoa Township. It may be arbitrary, but everyone talks about the rural look and feel, right? A nice place to live, which coincidentally I did see that in another township. Is it Berkshire that uses it? I'm not sure. Nevertheless, it sounds like we're really close on this number, right?
I don't know how close you are. I'm there.
I'm there, too. I'm not.
Okay. So I don't have to talk my way around it anymore.
I think we're there. So I think the only question is, can we adopt it tonight and move it on?
I think you can make a motion to approve the amendment with, the X, Y, and Z changes we talked about the last one that you wanted to incorporate.
Yeah.
To me, it's no different than that change, though the other changes you're making. And then this still has to go to the board. It'll still be a public hearing. They'll still be advertised. The public will still have the opportunity.
I will throw this out there just for the record. I feel like that's like 1.1 and 1.35 is low. But it seems like it's justifiable based on some other sewer things. If there were any other number that I would throw out there, it would be completely arbitrary and just.
Right.
Would
you consider Venmar to be heavily dense? 4, 5, and 6? Because it's 1.1. To me, it looks like it's dense.
Well, it's not that.
But it's not. Well, I'm just saying, the plan is it is.
Well, okay,
it will be up.
But
the physical houses are close to each other. The physical houses are close to each other. You have to take into account the aerial view, which is all the preserved open space. Because the houses are close to each other. If you just draw boxes around the houses, they're very close to each other.
And these PRDs, they're going to be close to each other. You're not.
They're 24 feet apart.
Not as close as they are in there, because with a 60 by 120, you're not going to get as close.
Remember, Venmar and 4, 5, 6 are 12-foot side yard setbacks, so 24 feet per lot. 1, 2, and 3 is 20-foot between there, 10-foot side yard setbacks. Okay. So I know there's a lot of issues with Venmar, but I kind of enjoy living in Venmar homes. And I like having the space between the homes like that. And I like the way that's set up. At bottom.
Right, and I think that's the perfect reason to like it, which is to buy what you like, buy like where you like to live.
So,
I consider the residents.
What number would you think is a reasonable?
1.3 and 1.6.
Okay, I was thinking 1.3 and 1.8, but that's just where I was in life.
Exactly. I mean, I have nothing to support those numbers.
Other than looking at the numbers over and over again on what is already in the township.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are numbers that are significantly lower in those areas.
Yeah. For sure.
Can I speak, please?
Sure.
Renee Vaughn, 6368 Mahogany Drive. The sewer report of Delaware County says in planning area 4 and 5, the highest sewer is 1.35. That's what it can support. So I think that is a valid number in 4 and 5. There's no sewer in 1 and 2. So I don't know how you can support 1.6 when the sewer won't.
That's not my capacity.
Point. It's not capacity. No. What is it?
It was just a recommendation of what the township thought.
But at least we have something.
Yeah.
Something we have almost measurable.
When was that recommendation?
That we came up with that in 2015?
Yeah. So
that was purely a zoning. That was purely a number the zoning commission came up with of one of several scenarios. That is not a max capacity number.
Yeah, there were six scenarios created. What the Delaware County Sewer Department, I spent the night at several sewer meetings, I don't care who you are. You can't love going to sewer meetings. But what we were asked to do as a township was the Delaware County Sewer District was trying to figure out what their future demands would be in different parts of the county, the whole county. And what they had said was, we have taken notice of what your comprehensive plan says. And you need to understand that we don't believe that you're, and it wasn't just directed at us, it was at every township. At every municipality in Delaware County. We don't think your comprehensive plan likely represents what is going to happen as far as building in your township or in your municipality. We want you to go back to your plan and tell us if there are any parts of your plan that you think might turn out different when it's all done, based on building trends you're seeing, based on what is coming to you in the township, you know, all of that. And then we will have an idea about where sewer is going to be needed. They were really clear that they were taking information directly from developers. So if developers owned pieces of land or were buying pieces of land, they were urged to send in their comments about what they were going to try to do in the different parts of the county. So it wasn't just our input, it was also the input of many developers who wanted to come forward. And I recognize lots of faces in that audience of people who've been here for development. So they were asked to submit their information on what they plan to do and what they would need. The county was also extremely clear that the county will not pay to take sewer to anyone. They are not leading sewer in to create development. We're not a city laying out pipes to get people to come and live here. They said, we'll have to pay to connect to sewer, but we want to know which lines do we need to be repairing. If we do repairs, should we be expanding our capacity? What do we need to do to be ready for what is coming so that we don't run out of sewer prematurely, right? And so they have all the development around here. And that's what they were chasing in this. So what we said was, based on what had been developed and what had been built in the adjacent surrounding areas, including Benmar, we thought it was much, much more likely that the rest of the township, in a worst-case scenario, would build out at the 1.1, 1.35 standard. We said how many acres we thought were in play. We said how many acres of infill we thought were in play and how many additional units we have. So the comprehensive plan said we'd put about 600 more units in at the comprehensive plan numbers, because we ran those numbers at comprehensive plan densities. And then we said, if we assume that what we see happening is what's really going to happen, we think we'll have twice as many. So we'll end up with 1,266 new homes in the township before it's all done, which in the scheme of things, Delaware County almost laughed at my face for the amount of work that we did to tell them we needed 600 additional units, maybe. They're like, that's not even a number. We don't even care about 600 units. You tell me you're going to have 6,000 more units, I care about that. But I don't care about 600 more units in Genoa Township. Thank you very much for all your work. So, and we looked at a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different assumptions, and the trustees sort of signed off on their recommendation on one, which was a very middle-of-the-road assumption. So that's where all that comes from. It is arguably imagination.
It was really just telling the county, here's what we think might happen.
Right.
For your, so then the county could go back and determine facilities-wise what they needed to make sure they built. I agree with Ms. Walker. I think the growth of Genoa is much less concerning to them than the growth they're seeing. In
They were not the slightest bit interested in our 600 units. They were more interested in Liberty and Sunbury and everybody who was going to be throwing in 10,000 or 20,000 or, you know, whatever ridiculous numbers of units or more commercial. They wanted to know a lot about commercial and industrial, which are high water uses. They wanted to know a lot about that. Residences don't draw the kind of water.
And a lot of what really changed was the pump station in Benmar. For a while, we were all operating under the assumption that it did not have a lot of capacity, could not handle a lot more units, and that turned out not to be the case. And so once, I think people in that area found out that there was capacity there to be used, I think that's why we started seeing changes. I do express some reservations about the 1.1 and 1.35 that I think I share with Ms. Patrick.
So this is interesting as we're looking at the comp plan and I'm looking at the Fallon Research survey that was performed in back in 15 and we discussed it, 25 questions. This may convolute the whole conversation, might not get us.
But please do.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's as I was reading, I'm like, oh, good Lord, because it's, you know, they're broad questions, but, you know, thinking about future planning and growth options, strongly, 55.7% indicated encouraging growth where it should occur, but manage it more carefully through more controls. So it's kind of okay. It's the so what factor, right? This is thought-provoking. Generally speaking, which of the following residential uses would you prefer for undeveloped land in the township? 46.2% single family homes with yard, large yards. Oh, so it didn't really get us closer to the conversation about units, but nevertheless I thought that was important to bring this up because we've been hearing some feedback about this survey and it lost my mind that some of the results were in the comp plan. I was going online and trying to pull some of that data, and I'm like, Jesus, look at the appendix. So here it is. Good Lord, come on, Sean. Do better. So anyways, that doesn't necessarily help where we're at right now with this 1.1, 1.35, 1.3, 1.6, right? So are we at a bottleneck right now, or what are we thinking?
I would be interested if anybody is proposing a different number and they can support it, then I would be open to listen to it. But it's arbitrary.
I'm the first to admit that it's just, you know, but yeah, I have nothing to make sure.
No, but it came to mind for you, right?
So, it did. It was just.
Yeah. So.
What? If anybody is opposed to the 1.1, 1.35 and suggesting another number, I would be interested in hearing your justification. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, what is the number, if you're opposed to that, what is the number, and what's the justification for your number? And I'm saying this so you can defend it, or we can defend it, because right now I wouldn't be able to defend it.
Quantitatively, I cannot fully defend anything on changing of a number, and I don't think any of us can by saying that we're going to arbitrarily change a number than what it already is. So if we're going to lower it, what's the justification for doing
this?
Yeah,
it's our rules of engagement.
We've gone through all of this at this point and said the buffers and how we're going to control it and the building envelopes. Those are justifiable things from a zoning perspective. And we've come to a conclusion of why it's somewhat justifiable. But to now say we're just going to change the density to a number, I mean, I threw out 1.3 and 1.8 just because looking at the previous numbers, where we've kind of been, where previous developments have been, looking at the last few that we've approved, what's gone through, those are reasonable numbers, I think.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and say, mathematically, and go through, okay, this is why I figured out this number. It
seems to be more in line with the rest of the town.
So, I think a small variation in them, if we want to change them, fine. I think going all the way down that far is pretty significant when we're already putting, again, restrictions on what we're doing from a building standpoint. And I think we've already basically said you're not going to get to these numbers anyway by putting the buffers already in here. That's where I stand.
I think personally that we wouldn't know the answer to that without looking at every lot. I think the reason I would suggest that we print a number in here and not just rely on the buffers is for the very reason I stated before, which is the ability to speak a number that tells people where our heads are in the simplest language first, and then the follow-up sentences, and oh, by the way, we've got some serious buffer requirements and other things, and people can pay attention to that. But I think if our intent is for those things to keep us from building out at a very high level, then our density number right at the gate should be a higher number. Because if I were recording from every township, I would just record their density numbers and I would walk away. I think the 1.1 and the 1.35 will stand scrutiny against a sewer plan, against the numbers that we put in the township. The trustees themselves had to sign off on that recommendation to Delaware County, so it's a number that they have researched and thought about and signed up to and recognized. I think that 1,200 additional units from that point in time in 2015 sounded like the right number of units to build out against the existing population of units, and that the work that went into coming up with those numbers made sense to me mathematically. So, you know, as we sat down and worked through what was left. So Mark has sort of called on each of us to sort of state why our numbers are where they are. I'm comfortable with those particular numbers.
So am I.
Jim Carter, we're doing a referendum right now for 1.89. And I think what this number does, if you look at the rural residential lots that are left in what's now called Planning Area 1, those are going to be infills, and 1.1 and 1.35 help those infills, so those people don't get 20 houses in their backyards, and even with all the buffering, depending on how big it is, and then areas 2, 3, 4, and 5 was already at 1.35, those people are giving up from 0.75 up to this being realistic, and I think that's why those numbers work really, really well. So, I mean, we've got a referendum, 1,600 people want that going, we've got a whole bunch of people working, and, you know, they don't want that in areas 2, 3, 4, or 5. And we just spent hours and hours in Sheffield and Mansard Estates, and they're 1.2, 1.3, and they're beautiful over there. And they're just, you know, like Binmar's nice, absolutely. But that's not what the people who, you may like living there, Mr. Lepp, but the people around it didn't really like it being built in there. So it's not only are we building for future people who come in and may like a house, but we're also saying, hey, you residents are already here, you have rights too. So I think that's what the 1.1 and 1.35 protects. So I think they're good numbers.
Thank you.
That was your little friendly notes from the last time.
All right.
Thank God. Just as a reminder on what I had on those notes, before we go on to this discussion, I had changing average to calculation. In that density section, we talked about getting rid of the word average and putting calculation in. I also had where we were going to change anywhere the word buffer was used, amended to say an area of open space around the perimeter, right? Because we had that issue around what's a buffer. And then I would have whatever we're going to do in 90302 around the density here tonight. That's what I have on my list for amendments since we last talked. Joe, did I forget anything?
That's pretty much what I think I remember off the notes I
We didn't have much, but I did find my original notes.
We talked about a lot, but I think, yeah, I think the number of actual changes we decided to come up with was relatively short.
We have to do the one on the bottom of the sheet that you gave us, one for 100 and two to just two.
Oh, yep, there was that one down there, too.
Take that,
that one?
Take out the ands. There's ands in various locations in there.
So I'll use 190.
I don't remember what the... That was just the semantics thing. I know.
909.
It was in like...
And any others. And I'll just mark, just like the buffer, I'll just mark it anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's
specific
used.
And then...
Commas without motion.
What's that?
You'll put the commas in where we have thousands places in all.
Oh yeah, if you want to just make it general.
And any other typographical.
Typos.
If I don't catch it, trust me, the board will. They're also very good at.
Yep.
Okay. Does somebody want to make a motion?
Subject zoning text and map amendment initiated by the Zoning Township Zoning Commission on August 20th, 2018 and dated the same to revise, edit, add, and or delete zoning provisions within the following locations of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. Article 1, Administration. Article 4, Definitions. Article 5, Establishment of Zoning Districts and Map. Article 9, Planned Residential District, PRD. Article 10, Lower Density Planned Residential District, PRD 5. Article 20, Landscaping Standards and the Appendix, as well as corresponding edits to the official Genoa Township zoning map for the purposes of consistency but not changing the existing zoning district designation of any property, also known as ZC Case Number 2018-06, incorporating Exhibits A through F, including the following additional edits to the zoning text. In Section... Article 4, Definitions, the definition of density, subsection B. The definition of net density to read in its entirety as follows. B, net density, colon, the number of dwellings per acre of land when the calculation involved includes only the land devoted to residential uses and excludes such areas as street rights of way, parks, common open space, and other similar uses. And a general observation and edit to the zoning text, wherever the word buffer is used, to amend such phrase to indicate an area of open space around the perimeter of a piece of property. Section 909.01, 909.02, and any other sections which use the phrase "and" in text describing a number, and any other typographical errors or omissions detected by the zoning office during the preparation of the final document. And section 903.02, which will be amended in its entirety to read as follows. The density of land use within a planned residential district shall not exceed 1.35 dwellings per net developable acre when conservation development standards are used, or 1.1 dwellings per net developable acre otherwise. The motion to recommend approval of the subject zoning text and map amendment is based on the following findings of fact and conclusion. In general, the revisions to the zoning text and map amendment are designed to more completely and clearly codify the intent of Genoa Township to reflect a rural look and feel. The rural look and feel is being codified in the reduced density in the PRD development, the extension of buffers from surrounding zoning development zones, the addition of landscaping and buffer trees in such area, and
building envelopes.
Oh, the creation of minimum building envelopes for any structure in a PRD that does not have independent lot lines.
Very good. We have a motion. Any further discussion? If not, we have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Joe, go roll.
Roll call, Ms. Faulkner?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes.
Ms. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Preeby?
Yes.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Carries. This ends this session of the public hearing. The time is 8:34. There are no other items on the agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
I'm sorry.
Just so everyone knows, we are canceling the October 9th meeting. Mr. Hassey emailed me and informed me he actually could not make that meeting. He was out of town. So we are going to push him to the November meeting. We will rerun the newspaper ad, and I will resend notifications to all the surrounding property owners since we're not continuing to do a daytime at least certain on Friday.
There are no other issues to hold a meeting. We can approve minutes in the November meeting.
Correct. There was no other items on the agenda except for setting the calendar and doing minutes, and I didn't think you wanted to get up to.
And I looked like it was about to.
And just to do that.
I know you like to come to the meeting.
Whatever that is, I want that off me. Whatever that is.
So with that,
okay, I have a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman,
second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Keep carrying.